obviously, this is a very, very tragic case. It's also an intriguing case geopolitically. President Trump says he's not satisfied with Saudi Arabia's response, but find it convincing. The question is, do you find it convincing? And what's your take on the Saudi account of the events surrounding the journalist's death?
My understanding is the president actually last night said that Saudi Arabia, he was relieved that they had admitted the death, and he was looking forward to the details as the data became more apparent. I do think it is a relief that the kingdom has admitted to the death of Khashoggi inside the Saudi consulate. I've been astonished at how Turkey was able to control the media narrative for almost 2 weeks, releasing what is clearly data that only Turkish security and Turkish intelligence could have, releasing it in pro-Erdogan state newspapers and news media in a way that caused maximum humiliation to the kingdom. So you used in your introduction the correct word. This is a geopolitical game of chess. At the center, there is a tragic death of a journalist, which also in so many ways that does not make sense to me. He's been portrayed as a liberal reformer, but Khashoggi was no Malala Yousafzai. He was a seasoned member of the Saudi intelligentsia. He was very well connected to the royal family, and for decades his patron was the head of Saudi intelligence, Prince Turki Al-Faisal. So with that kind of background, and knowing that he was a committed Islamist and member of the Muslim Brotherhood, I have no idea why he would walk into a possible circumstance where he was likely to have been abducted. I certainly believe he was a target for extraordinary rendition. It doesn't make sense to me why a journalist so knowledgeable would have allowed himself to become so vulnerable. That doesn't mean he deserved the death that he may have met once we finally know the facts. But it is so much more. This is really a very carefully constructed and managed media war of Turkey and Qatar against Saudi Arabia. That's not denying that Saudi Arabia is responsible for the death of Khashoggi. Not at all. But this is being played up out in a global stage. And from where I am in New York, I've spent the whole week on New York media and Western media with the BBC. And I cannot explain to you the shock at the lack of introspection within the American media commentary. Mm-hmm. We seem to have forgotten in America that 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we were aggrandizing Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, as a liberal reformer. He didn't stand up and say, I'm a liberal reformer. He said, I'm an economic reformer. There's going to be more freedom of movement for women in the kingdom. There's going to be more open interaction with movies and entertainment, because that's part of injecting the stagnant Saudi economy. But they portrayed him as this reforming prince, failing to see really what the kingdom is about. And now they don't see their own hand in empowering the Saudi monarchy, who may or may not have been responsible for at least the attempted rendition of this individual and possible accidental murder. As a physician, I do believe an accidental killing could have been possible. Certainly, Khashoggi would have struggled when he realized that he was not going to receive the documents he wanted for his divorce. Certainly, they may have used force to restrain him. Often, in extraordinary renditions, which we know, unfortunately, a great deal about in the United States, sedation is used. And at 60 years old, overweight, he could have had an accidental death. And now the team is left with what to do with the body and where can we put his remains? It's the middle of the day. We're in Turkey. So I do see that there is that concept of it. And that death would not have been authorized by the Crown Prince. I'm speculating. The Crown Prince is himself an extremely calculating and extremely powerful but intelligent ruler. He would never have wanted this kind of scenario, which has so damaged the kingdom in less than 2 weeks, and who knows what's to come.
Well, you actually alluded to some very, very interesting and pertinent points. I mean, the first thing you mentioned is the questioning of why Khashoggi would go into the consulate and put himself in danger. I'm just assuming that he thought that maybe because the consulate was in foreign grounds that he had some kind of protective seal around
Jason,
it.
I agree with you, but Jason, look, he was marrying a member of the Turkish diplomatic corps, his fiancée. Mm. He had said to her, if anything happens to me in the consulate, that means he had some apprehension.
Doubts, yeah.
He went to the consulate 5 days before. She said he was very nervous. And then, for who was their helpline that they were going to call? A member of Erdogan's lieutenants, the highest echelons of power of Turkey, of Erdogan's authority. Erdogan is one of the leading patrons of Islamism in the world today. So not only was he, it's fine to say critical things about the Saudi media. There are incredibly brave and brilliant people that are sitting in Saudi jails or stripped of their passports sitting in London that do that. But they do not marry literally and ideologically into the Muslim Brotherhood and expect to get away with it. So it really puzzles me. It really puzzles me.
Are you also saying then, Councillor, that you believe that the Crown Prince bin Salman has no knowledge of this? He had no insight into it whatsoever?
I don't know anything about Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, but I do imagine someone at his level of power is not going to be micromanaging details. He may have said, take care of this journalist writing critical papers. We have to silence him. He may have said that. He may not have made an explicit death warrant. And he certainly would not have said, bungle a targeted assassination in the consulate on a Muslim ally's territory. So that the world gets videotapes and audio tapes of it. He would never have done that. And we know that in the Saudi-led coalition against Yemen, in which Saudi Arabia and UAE and other partners are, they have outsourced targeted assassinations for key Houthi leaders and done that efficiently. And that's come out in the Israeli media.
Sure.
And with highly trained military operatives. So if he wanted to do a targeted assassination, they had the resources to be able to do this. So, no, I think on balance, this Crown Prince most likely did not order this nature of this killing. Additionally, they had plans probably, they didn't want to martyr him. If they executed him, let's say, in Saudi Arabia at a beheading, he would become a martyr. Mm. Most likely, they would want to retrieve Khashoggi back to the kingdom, put him in a jail, and leave him there for decades to defang his authority. Now Khashoggi is going to be far more of a thorn in the side of the kingdom in his death than he ever was in the 60 years of his life.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating, the different facets of this. You've just alluded to one there, but I mean, the one that the world's looking on to have a response from President Trump and the American administration is the question of sanctions and what type of sanctions, bearing in mind the very strategic relationship that they've got in terms of trade and arms and the multi-billion trade deal that they have with the Saudi Arabians could be potentially damaging for both parties. How does President Trump deal with this, and what are Washington's options now, giving the close US-Saudi relations? The world is looking on as well, aren't they?
Well, I mean, exactly. And I have confidence in my president, and I have confidence in the advisors around him. The cry for retaliation against Saudi Arabia, including economic and military sanctions against Saudi Arabia, is astonishing, and it comes loudest from our American politicians, from members of Congress and Senate, who have gained most from millions of dollars of Saudi lobbying that comes into Washington, D.C. $27 million of lobbying in 2017 alone from Saudi-financed Washington lobbyists, perfectly legal in America. We can do this in America. You can hire an American lobbyist to lobby for your interests. Some of the loudest accusations have come from the politicians that are most contacted by the Saudi lobbying machine. And bear in mind, it's very complicated for America because sanctioning Saudi Arabia is one of the few countries that can have countervailing responses to the United States. We sanction them. We shoot ourselves in the foot. No one is saying in the media, did we want Saudi Arabia to stop selling us Saudi crude oil at U.S. refineries below cost. We get it cheaper than they do in Asia, which therefore gives us a tremendous advantage over our greatest economic rival, China. Are we going to give that up? It's really what I would do if I was advising the president. As I say, Now Saudi Arabia, you're going to be shoulder to shoulder with us with all of our interests in the region. You are going to move with us on stabilizing Israel and Palestine. We're going to make even more robust our position against Iran with Saudi Arabia. We're going to put pressure on you to end the conflict in Yemen, which is becoming nothing but Saudi Arabia's Afghanistan. And we are going to enrich American interests and American corporate positions, American military positions in the Gulf through the kingdom. And that's how you are going to pay for this humiliation of the United States. And I think also American politicians, I'm American, of course, I'm an American citizen. Mm. Americans have lost sight. The Saudi Arabia is much more than transnational Wahhabism, much more than oil. Saudi Arabia is the spiritual epicenter for 1.6 billion Muslims. Is America now going to break relations with this incredibly important symbol to the world's second largest religion? Are we really going to do that? Are we now going to leave such a massive vacuum that kingdom would become vulnerable? Look at what happened in the vacuums we left in Afghanistan and in Iraq. ISIS gave us a little taste of that in a strip of land between Syria and Iraq, and what they could do with 2 or 3 years of access to some of Iraq's oil installations. Could you imagine if the kingdom was in that position of vulnerability? So I think that would be completely reckless and devastating, not just for me here in the United States, but for you in Moscow and everyone else in the region. No. And yet that's what publicly many politicians are calling for, even as they have enrich themselves and finance their campaigns on Gulf money.
Well, very interesting and important points you're making. Again, so many connotations to this. Absolutely fascinating. And the question of sanctionizing this oil-rich country when there's so many strategic relations you've got. I mean, sanctions, we've been discussing a debate here in Moscow when you've already got sanctions against the likes of Iran.
Well,
and Russia is the leading oil-producing country.
So
I can understand your sort of angle from that point of view, and it makes a lot of sense. Let me just sort of throw a different question from a different angle. We're discussing, from a Russian point of view here in Moscow, the hypocrisy of this, where we've got this historical Skripal case where there was two individuals poisoned by a chemical nerve agent, and the world in one voice in unison sanctionized Russia, and they kicked out various diplomats around the various countries in the European Union. Historic amount of diplomats left in America. I think it was about 65 after that event. And now, obviously, President Trump has to show some leadership here. He's dealing with very delicate ground, as to what you've alluded to. But I suppose, from your point of view, Cantor, you can understand Russia's attitude towards this, can't you?
Oh, yes. If I was in the inner circle of advisors to President Putin, I would be watching this extremely closely. I mean, some of the most enraged opinion pieces appeared in Saudi state media, where they threatened, if the United States faced sanctions, they would invite Russian military bases into the kingdom. Mm. And we do know that Russia now has a very substantial influence in the carnage of the Syrian civil war, where Russia has inserted herself militarily, and therefore Russia is a known entity and her own superpower. So I agree, and I would be shocked if there would be expulsions of Saudi diplomats from American soil. I would be utterly shocked. I would say Turkey doesn't realize how damaging this incident has been for Turkey. Saudi Arabia has a very long memory. Can you imagine now? Every government in the world will be reconsidering their consulates, the security of their consulates in Turkey, and every Turkish consulate in the world is now going to be doubly and triply surveilled. So Turkey is playing an extremely dangerous game. But yes, I do see. And also, I also there is another hypocrisy that I haven't had a chance to mention on air, but it has been in my brain. And that is that there seems, in the same media that is just mourning Khashoggi. He was a U.S. resident. He lived here for, I think, a year or two. We have not had this level of outrage over the death of Daniel Pearl, an American citizen who was merely asking questions of the wrong person, an act of anti-Americanism and Islamist anti-Semitism on the soil of an American ally while we were fighting the same war against terror. But the even greater hypocrisy is the use of targeted assassinations that the United States has pursued in the aftermath of 9/11. Mm. Very well documented by American journalists, very well examined. We do targeted assassinations and extrajudicial executions around the world. Mm. We have even done this on American citizens, even though, in my opinion, those citizens deserve to die in the electric chair. Anwar al-Awlaki, who was the radical jihadist preacher with a massive online following, an American-born American citizen who went to Yemen, United States tracked him down, used a Predator drone, Hellfire missile, poof, he was gone, and then came back a few weeks later and droned and killed his 15-year-old son. The Anwar al-Awlaki's father, who's American, begged the United States, wrote to the United States government, please extradite my son, put him on trial, throw him in jail, anything. Please don't do an extrajudicial assassination. But President Obama disregarded that. Mm. So now, this is the nature of how governments operate. This is how we operate. It is very, very frightening. And it is destabilizing globally that international law and order can be disregarded by the most powerful actors on the planet. Troubling.
It's absolutely fascinating. This could talk to you all day. Let me just give you a couple more questions before we have to end it. Just give us your opinion from a point of view with regard to the political situation that this is now causing within the Middle East and these Arab countries. A number of other Saudi Arabia allies have spoke out against the kingdom in connection to this very tragic murder. What input could that have on the monarchy as well?
I haven't heard that. Who has spoken out against the kingdom? I'm not aware of that.
Well,
I know that Egypt is standing with the kingdom, but I don't know which countries have condemned this.
I haven't got any further information. I'm just presuming that the other countries within the Middle East, there possibly Qatar, probably be one of them. I would imagine.
Jason, I'm not aware. I was just noticing how silent commentary has been from Iran and Qatar. But of course, I only read English language media. I'm not fluent enough in Arabic to be able to read the Arabic media.
Okay,
so I don't know what the condemnation is.
Let me just ask you a final question. We thank you for your time on this one. It's been fascinating discussing this. But from your point of view, how is President Trump going to deal with this now? He's going to have to show some real leadership in line with all the executive management decisions he's brought to the table in terms of diplomacy since he's become the president. He's got his midterms coming up as well. So what's your general prognosis with regard to this, and how's he going to move it forward?
I would say we're going to hear some very firm rhetoric. I think we are going to preserve the military contracts, not only the $110 billion military contracts, because he doesn't want to deprive business of Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all these other companies and Boeing and so on. I also think that the midterms are foremost in their minds. There is another crisis that actually has not really been mentioned, but there is an act, the Justice for the Victims of Acts of State Terrorism, the JASTA Act, that President Obama attempted to veto, which gives American citizens whose families were killed in 9/11 the right to sue Saudi Arabia in American courts. That act has actually been passed, but the law has not been implemented. So he may face pressure over the implementation of that law so that Saudi Arabia may face some legal lawsuits. Now, perhaps that would be a preferable retaliation. It could satisfy an aspect of American opinion without jeopardizing Saudi American economic business interests, though I see that as deeply unfair. I did not see bin Laden as a state actor. He's not a state actor any more than Khalifa Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, is a state actor. But that might be a concession that he would make. I think that this crisis in the American public opinion towards Saudi Arabia is also manifesting in this hysteria erupting around the death of Khashoggi. Remember, 66 other journalists have been killed this year alone.
Sure.
We don't even know their names.
Mm.
There's been no outrage. So I think that hysteria is because post 9/11, we did not distance ourselves from the kingdom. We survived that. And I think that's the right thing, because the kingdom is not homogenous. The Saudi people, among whom I've lived and made my home, published many papers with, written a book about, I know them very well. They're very much like Americans. They love their food, their family, their cars. They love movies. They're an ordinary, rather friendly, gregarious population. There's an element that promotes radicalization and Salafism, but it's a small element. So it's we cannot abandon this country. But yes, the other issue that you don't understand if you're not living in the United States is the sheer vilification of President Trump every day on every matter.
Oh, we get it here, don't worry.
I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it, even during the Bush years,
sure,
when he was known as a war president. President George Bush was not as reviled as this president by half of America. So President Trump is damned if he does, is damned if he doesn't. And he is extremely focused on the economic revival and the global economic supremacy of the United States.
We understand
and
that.
And therefore,
yeah,
I predict the relationship will survive, and he will take any amount of criticism in order to preserve that. And I would support him in that. I think that is sensible for the United States, and it's sensible for the global world order.